Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right. Welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I am your host, Tim Lyons, joined by Randy Engston. What's up, man?
Hello, friend.
Good, good, good. Hello.
Are you?
Bueno.
It's going to be that kind of
Let's jump into it, guys. We got a cool one today. I'm going to start this off with a little story. I don't know if everybody knows how I started in this business. I'll just take it from like my degree. Okay. So I went to college.
1902.
1477. Long time ago at this point. I went to school and I came out with a construction management degree. This school, Louisiana, was very well known. It's like they're like the top school in construction management. Florida was in there and a couple others. Anyways, I got a job out in California, moved back to Arizona, and I joined a gym in this little town in Arizona, you know, like probably an hour south from here, whatever. And I joined Anytime Fitness and, you know, got to know the owner pretty well. And I'm working construction every day and it's like pretty bad grind. But like I would go in there on the weekends and he'd be in there kind of hanging out. And he was a police officer as well. So he had this kind of like side gig, Anytime Fitness. And it was only show in town and he had like 1400 members. Mm. And again, this, I don't know what year, I guess this would be in 06 or 07 or something like that. And, you know, basically he just ran this like machine of a gym and, you know, and I didn't need any frills. I came from college football. I knew what I was doing in the gym and I would just go in and work out, say hi to him, leave. And it looked like a pretty dang easy business. I said, one day I'm going to open one up. Right. So I ended up, moving up to Scottsdale, I found a location. I'm still working in construction and I basically wanted to maybe model the Anytime Fitness. In fact, I tried to get a franchise agreement. They said there was like some investment firm that kind of had the territories locked up back then or whatever. So they said I couldn't do it unless it was through them, which obviously I wasn't going to do. I hired a consultant. I was trying to do, my dad forced me to do that. I was hopefully doing all the right things. We shopped a couple of the competitors. We went into some spaces, some commercial spaces, and we landed on this place, you know, down the road over here. And, you know, Anytime Fitness wasn't available. So I opened my own. It was called Pulse Fitness. It was a general access gym with a ton of equipment in there, stacked solid.
Oh yeah.
You know, tons of cardio, tons of strength equipment. It was awesome. Right. It was kind of what I wanted as a, you know, meathead type dude. And we brought in some trainers, some independence trainers that kind of were the well-known people in the area. And they brought a ton of clients over and we opened up shop. Right. And, you know, we were getting our legs under us and we kind of got this, you know, the things going. We probably had 150, 200 members or whatever. 100, I don't know, whatever. I don't know the exact numbers, but I know that we weren't making money.
Sure.
I knew that I had a runway of abated rent that was coming up quick and I needed to make some tough decisions because this wasn't going to play out. My projections weren't hitting every month. I was very focused on pro forma and I was like, very, you know, I was looking at this thing daily. Like if we don't sell 10 this week and 10 next week and all these things were happening. I was like, I could project out 3 to 4 months and we're not on the runway or we're not on the trajectory to make this thing make any money. And if we don't make a change, we're kind of screwed because I was going to run out of money. The rent was going to be happening. So anyways, I reached out to my mentor at the time, Thomas Plummer, right? And he's still around and we still talk to him today, right? And he's like, hey, you got to go out to Atlanta and check out this guy, Rick Mayo. He's doing some cool stuff out there with some semi-private. You need to just go call. Actually, here's his number or his email address. Call him up or whatever. Email him and see if you can work with him somehow. And Rick wasn't doing consulting and coaching. He was just kind of had this model that was working. And him and Rick were pretty good buddies. And I called Rick and I said, hey, Rick, you know, I'm so-and-so and whatever. We may have met each other at some conference or something. And he's like, yeah, man, come on out. And I, you know, it'll be X amount of dollars. And I said, cool. So me, Aaron, Todd flew out and landed in Atlanta and got a chance to shadow Rick in his old North Point Fitness, North Point.
Yeah, North Point.
Yep. Yeah, North Point Personal Training, North Point Fitness. I don't know. It was North Point. I know that.
Yeah, I remember North Point.
And, you know, and we just watched him. He had a great fitness director, Joe, and we were just kind of watching the operations there. And it was cool. It was cool to see. I was like, okay, I get it. I start to understand what this model was about. And I remember him standing in there. He goes, yeah, it's just controlled chaos. And at the time, I was like, okay, cool. He knows what he's doing. Obviously, he probably wouldn't say that today.
Yeah.
But I remember very specifically, it doesn't look like we know what we're doing, but it's controlled chaos. We definitely know what's going on. And they did. They knew exactly where everybody was. They had the system with these cards and stuff. I was like, cool, I'm bought in. I like this. We didn't really talk numbers, but I understood how to run the model. And then we went to dinner that night. And he's like, yeah, man, tell me about your place. And so there wasn't anything to write on, so we grabbed a napkin, and I think Aaron had a pen or something, and I drew the gym, and I put all the equipment. Tell me where all the equipment is. Boom, 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 boom. And we had it all on there. And he goes, okay, here's what you're going to need to do. He starts crossing stuff off of the list. You know, you got to get rid of these treadmills, get rid of that hack squat and this leg press over here, this bench. You don't need that. That Smith machine, get rid of that. So I was basically left with like some dumbbells
and floor
and some cable machines, you know,
yeah.
And he's like, you need to get rid of everything. I was like, man, I'm 10 months into this business.
Still paying on it.
Yeah, for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I have all this equipment. It's brand new, right? It's like literally brand new.
Yeah,
and
it was beautiful.
It's great stuff. And, you know, I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision whether or not, you know, and, you know, the phrases he told me at the time was like, a space is your best piece of equipment right now. You need to open this place up. And, you know, remember, I just had a consultant. It told me the opposite. Now I'm being told this by somebody who's very, you know, obviously doing very well. The consultant was a consultant. He was not a gym owner. He was worked in the fitness facility, you know, in the industry for years, but obviously told me the wrong stuff.
Sure.
Right. So I invested all this money and did this gym, and, you know, and honestly, the gym that I built was a gym that I would want to lift in.
I did.
It was great. It was a great gym,
started, right?
But it wasn't going to make money. So there's sure. There's a big difference, right? You know, do I go down this road in a cool place that I like, and then it just doesn't make any money? And I said, no, this is a business. The business has to come first. And so again, I was faced with the decision. What do I do? And so I, you know, pondered it, you know, brought the team together, and we just decided like, yeah, we're going to make this move. We're going to get rid of this stuff, and we're going to change the model and kick off all the independent trainers. All within like 2 months.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing it, right? Like I could have said no.
You could have dragged your feet on it.
I could have resisted. But we went forward and made the changes and made it into a training gym instead of a anytime fitness training. If you wanted it, it was training centric. It was a training gym first.
Yep.
The personal trainers were all out. I kept one of them. Todd, and he's our fitness director. And, you know, I hired another coach at that time. And then I hired a third coach at that time. Anyways, I was before I was doing all the sales, and then I was dishing off these clients to the different trainers. And I was just like, they were loving it, right? Like yeah. They were making tons of money, and I just cared about the membership, right? Cause that's what my motto was. Anyways, long story short, we did all this stuff. We brought in semi-private training even back then, 2010. We've been doing semi-private training since 2010. Now, obviously, we learned the model from North Point, right? And we came out here and we developed our own systems, but that model started there. And we grew the business. Obviously, that's 14 years ago at this point. And we grew out of that space. We grew into this space, revised, changed, constantly changing, updating, changing. Can we do it better? Yes, make the change. And the big question you asked me is like, what if you said no?
Yeah.
What if you said no? I've invested all this money. I'm not making a change. I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be here. I would be out of business, and I'd probably be back in construction if we're being honest, right? I had to move all of my equipment into a storage facility and I was paying for the storage facility. I was paying for the equipment, and I had I wasn't using any of it.
No gain from it.
Then I piecemealed it out like one thing at a time, like probably on Craigslist or something, right?
Hey, are you a gym owner whose business is in full swing, pulling in at least steady 30K or more per month, and now you're ready to ask yourself, what is next? Well, the Iron Circle is ready to show you that path forward. As a part of our exclusive community, you'll be surrounded by like-minded, success-driven gym owners just like you who are taking their businesses to the next level. Visit our website, ironcircle.net, to apply to be a part of the next Iron Circle group. And let us turn your successful gym into a thriving fitness legacy. All right, let's get back to the show.
And I decided to make a change because, one, what I was doing wasn't working. Wasn't serving me. It didn't look good. I wasn't going to close the doors today, but like in 4 months, maybe. I don't know. Unless something changed, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I have to make this change. And if I was so in love with my product at the time, not knowing anything, I would be out of business. And so the question I pose to you and listeners is what you're doing working for you? And if it's not, and somebody has a solution, do you create a problem around why you can't do that solution? Or do you accept it and move into the solution? Mm-hmm. That's the question. And if you're so in love with what you've created and it's my way or the highway and there's no better way than this, even if it's not serving you, you have a tough decision to make. Put your ego aside and look at the numbers. Yeah. The data is the data. Is it successful or not? And if it's not, trying to do the same thing harder isn't going to get you any more, you know, it's going to make it worse, right? Yeah, so like you've got to make, working harder isn't going to get you there. Yeah. Changing the model will. Changing, like I said, guys, nobody would make a decision. Like, I don't know if there's any client we've worked with of the 1,500 damn clients we work with would make a decision like I made with that brand new equipment with not necessarily in dire straits, but could see the future and said, dude, this isn't going to work.
Yeah,
I don't think there'd be one of them.
That's it. Yeah, it's massive. That's a tall order, right? To be in that position. One of the things that I want to highlight is the fact that you came to the table with the business first focus.
Yes.
You know, and I think that just to kind of paint the bridge from where, you know, you as a listener might be sitting is like you love the fitness side. You love the passion. You love helping people. But sometimes you do all that at the detriment of the business. And if you're not clear, Tim talked about the numbers. He talked about the projections. He talked about the things that's the lifeblood of a business, right? And that's where the decisions come from. That's where your comfort in making the change comes from. That's where your opportunity and the results come with is by making those changes. And if you're just too in love with the idea, and that's really what it is you're in love with the idea of what this business should be.
Should be, yeah.
Not what it is. That's the stuff that's going to hold you back forever. And that's the reason that you are still here 2, 3, 4 years into or down the road and you're in the exact same revenue per month. You're battling the same problems. If I ask you how you spend your days, you tell me you're putting out fires. It's an unfortunate place to be in, but it's going to start when you decide that something has to change and you start to make that change.
Yeah, it's the egos a lot of times.
A lot of time it's the ego. There's a fear.
There's sure. fear. There's definitely sure. fear.
But you know what mitigates fear? Knowledge.
Yep.
And data.
Confidence.
One of the first things. Let's just use one common trait, one common change that we help gym owners with is their model, right? Moving from a group training model to semi-private or a one-on-one model to semi-private. And on paper, sure. We transitioned entire group training gyms to semi-private.
Mm-hmm.
And at, you know, the initial conversation, that sounds very scary, right? I've got 150 clients, let's just say 150 clients, 200 clients doing large group, and I got to move them all to a higher price point. I'm going to lose clients. Sure. That's an understandable statement. But let's put it on paper. Let's see how many physical clients you can lose from a number while transitioning the rest of them to the higher price point, and what is that gap in gain, right? Or what was that percentage of loss that's acceptable to be dollar for dollar in the same boat? most of the time it's, you know, 25-30% of the business, sometimes more than that. You can literally not can maintain, mm-hmm. and your business is dollar for dollar in the same boat.
Which essentially is not the goal, but it is a win.
Well, that's exactly it. So, like, if that's minimal viable, you know, transition, if you may, right? Like, that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, because then every new person is growing.
Everything yeah. beyond that's already padding. That's already better than what you were doing before. Plus, we know with every new client that comes to the door, there's that much more opportunity than there was yep. in the previous business. And that's without getting into the reason that we need, you know, like, gyms are running away from the group model with competition and things like that nowadays. I mean, all of that is the reason, that's the reassurance on why you need to make the change,
yep.
you know? And so a lot of it is scary. A lot of it is fear, but there's ways of mitigating that. And if you're not having the conversation and the understanding, if you're not putting pen to paper and doing the math to give yourself the clarity, no wonder you're afraid.
Well,
you don't take action.
I think early on when I was making decisions and stuff, I had extreme confidence in myself.
Sure.
I bet on myself. I said, I'm not going to fail. And even if I did, if I fail, I tried this, it didn't work, and I went bankrupt. Let's just say I just filed for bankruptcy. Give me a year, I'll be back, because I had so much freaking confidence. I still do. I'm going to win. It's just, you know, like, am I going to win this way, or this way? Like, it doesn't matter. And so I think there's some self-doubt a lot of this time. You don't trust your own work ethic or your own product or something is holding you back from, like, the confidence and mindset, like, dude, I'm going to win. I trust this process will work, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. Even if it starts to crumble here, I'm going to make it up in another way. And a lot of folks out there just aren't there. And it's the sad reality. I mean, the shit's on you. You're the entrepreneur. You took the risk. Like, it's do or die. Are you going to just die? Like, come on. Guys,
and there's a big
be a competitor.
There's a lot of, you know, a lot of gym owners are, you're still focused or you're still really great trainers, but the business side of it doesn't come natural. Then seek that advice, find that mentor, reach mm-hmm. out to us. You know, that's the reason that we're in the seat. That's what we help gym owners with. We're not going to go over there and talk about your kettlebell swings. We're not talking about, you know, your program breakdown and how you serve your client 9 times out of 10. We're teaching you this, the math of your business. Mm-hmm. And if that's where you have your gaps, fill that gap with somebody who does. That's why we're here. That's what we do.
Exactly. So, you know, this episode topic is like, hey, are you going to create the problem for a solution? The solution's out there, guys. I mean, there's large group training gyms that are doing great, and there's some that are never going to make it.
Yep.
And if you're in the never going to make it boat, like, you can't work harder in that model. Like, that model's broken. Just look at the retention in months for an Orange Theory Fitness. It's 3 months. This was told by us at the conference from somebody that was at the Orange Theory conference last year. I don't see that going up. It might be 2.5 months now. So you're telling me somebody signs up in January, they're out of your business by March, right?
Yeah.
You're 3 months. And so for every freaking person you sign up, like, you have to sign up 5 more in the, you know, the whole year to keep replacing that same person.
At one of the lowest cost
per models.
Models. Exactly.
It's a churn and burn.
Yep. Your transactional model.
And it's a transactional model. And listen, look, I mean, there's something to be said about Orange Theory doing well, because they just merge with Anytime. And, like, look, but that's not the model I want. No freaking way.
No.
You're basically a marketing agency. And that's why there were so many Orange Theories working with us and trying to work with us for so long, because they just had to, you have to constantly replace their folks. Over here, I mean, look, I mean, we've got clients, I mean, we say it all the time, 15 years. Signed up at our grand opening, signed up in our first week.
I just ran into one.
yeah, you know, and they're like family, and everybody's got those. I get it. But, like, there's people here for 10 years, 11 years, everywhere in between. And, yeah, we get the people that come and leave in 3 months too. But that ain't our average.
Well, the average is what, 16 change?
It grows because we took our numbers from 2019 on. And so, like, we got that COVID year. But, yeah, like on our spreadsheet where we're tracking every person that's flowing through our gym, we have a spreadsheet. It's like almost 17 months now.
Yeah.
But it's just not accurate enough. It doesn't go all the way back to the first day, right? So we just took, like, the 4-year period or whatever.
Which would extend the average membership.
Yeah. It would be in the 20 months, 25. Yeah. It's just, I mean, 3 months or 20 months or 36 months. Like that was our retention for the semi-private training clients paying $399 or more.
Let's put some math around that. Right. So let's say left and right, you're selling one person from the marketplace.
Okay.
Okay. The value of what Orange Theory or a group training gym, what's average membership there? $199?
It's called $200. I don't know.
$200.
Yeah.
$200 times three.
$600.
$600. A client to
lifetime value.
Sell, onboard, put them into your training, do all of the things that have to happen left and right. The average value you're getting from that client is $600. In your business at $99 a week, we figure it's $428 and change, right? So $428 a client's worth for our business. Multiply that by 17 months.
I don't know. I mean,
three and change, I believe.
No, it's well over five. There, 17 times 428. Yeah, 7276.
$7,200. So you're telling me that to do all of the same work to bring somebody on board, all of the same work to attract a client, to have the opportunity to sell them, all of that stuff it's got to take place left and right, I can do that and I can make over $7,000 or I can make $600. Why are we putting all of our eggs in that basket when that is the average result?
Yeah. Yeah. That's that franchise model. No, I get it. It doesn't make sense. And for anybody that's living in that large group training model and you're struggling, like, why won't you change? Why won't you change? That's the question I'd probably ask. Is there a reason why you wouldn't? I mean, the business side of it makes total sense. Is it you? Is it you? Your clients won't? Like, what is the reason you won't?
Yeah. What's the problem for the solution?
What's the problem for that solution? So anyways, that's it for this episode, guys. Just want to give you a little backstory. Obviously, there's lots of hidden gems in this episode. If you guys need help, you know where to find us. Link in show notes. That's it for this episode, guys. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye.
All right, and thank you for listening to that episode of the Built to Grow podcast where we help gym owners win. Now, if you want to connect with me and other gym owners online, all you need to do is join our private Facebook group, Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. Just head on over to Facebook and type in Business Talk with Fitness Professionals, and when you do, we're going to give you our 10 marketing strategies 7-figure gym owners use to win. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Until then, keep building something great.